Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training.
See, when you're creating your online personality, it's essentially like a captured version of your personality. You don't have all the nuance that you have offline. Body language, you're changing how you speak to them, what your word choice, how much information you give them, based on a lot of context. And so I think a lot of people skip the step of just pausing and saying, how am I going to communicate my identity online? Because the reality is you have to either be intentional about this or you're going to accidentally communicate something. If you're already experienced in your industry, if you have already spent at least a decade building your expertise, let's build the high ticket program first. Let's come out of the gate with a premium sold out coaching program that funds your lifestyle. Now you can buy back your time, and that allows you to now write the book, create the course, get the membership.
Hey, Chandler Volt here, and joining me today is John Meese. John is the founder of Sell Your Smarts and also has a company called Sold Out Coach and a membership called the Sold Out Coach Club. He's the author of multiple books, including Survive and Thrive and his book, Always Be Teaching. He's the host. Oh, check it out. There we go. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can see him live. And then he's also the host of the Thrive School podcast. And in the past life, was the director of membership at Michael Hyatt and Platform University. So a ton of experience with membership sites, which is really fun. We might get into that. We've got Survive and Thrive book that you've done previously. We've got Always Be Teaching. And then we've got the new upcoming book, Sold Out Coach.
Correct. Yes.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, hey, I want to kick off with this. You kind of alluded to this before the interview, but about seeing one of my talks and you got a fun story about how that inspired the first book. So tell that story.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know if it was 2017 or 2018, but it was somewhere in there when you were a speaker at Craft and Commerce at ConvertKits Conference.
I think it was 2018.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. And it was before 2020. Everything before that is kind of just a mess of memories.
Yeah.
So you gave a talk and you were, this was, I think, right when you published like the new version of your book that's just called Published had come out and you'd kind of get everybody copies of it. And you did a mind mapping exercise in that workshop where you're like, get out a pen and paper. We're going to do this right now. We're going to pull out the big ideas for your book. And I did the exercise, you know, thought it was pretty cool. I came up with some things during that exercise that surprised me, but I didn't think much of it, honestly. I put the piece of paper in my backpack, went on. But then when I sat down to write what became my first book, Survive and Thrive, I remembered that and I either still had the paper or I had a picture of it and I pulled that out and that became the first version of the outline of this book. So of Survive and Thrive, which became my favorite review of the book calls it a weekend MBA. So it's just this sort of a business 101 crash course for entrepreneurs that has been really fundamental and helped a lot of people and also been fundamental for my business. So thank you for that, Chandler. I don't think I've ever properly thanked you before now.
Oh, well, thanks for the thank you. And that's fun. Yeah. I mean, it's what's the Zig Ziglar quote is like, hey, I can impact someone's life with my talk, but if I can't change their life through just a talk. So if they buy my book or if they buy my programs or if they, you know, somehow implement in some way, like that's how I can truly change people's lives. So it's fun to see when that happens as a speaker, as I'm sure you know, it's just like, hey, when someone does it, it's like, all right, cool. That talk made an impact beyond just some short-term inspiration and all that stuff, but made a true impact in the form of a real life book, in the flesh. So that's cool. You did the mind map of that book and then ended up writing it. What were some tangible ways you felt like that impacted your business, that book specifically?
Yeah. So at the time, well, it's not just Yeah, I mean, this has affected many, many, many businesses, mine specifically. But this book was something that I had worked on a couple times, and it had a couple different titles, as it all, you know, as it happens, as you're working on different ideas, especially because it was my first book, so I didn't really know what I was doing. But then 2020, right? You know, COVID, pandemic, all these things that we don't want to talk about now. That's kind of like, you know, feels like ancient memory. But at the time, I actually owned an entrepreneur center. I owned a co-working space business that we had a contract with the state of Tennessee to be an entrepreneur center for local businesses. And I also owned a software company. And then I had my coaching company as well. And this was right when I was in the midst of helping Michael Hyatt sell Platform University to Pete Vargas. So lots of things were going on. But when the crisis happened, not just the health crisis, but the financial crisis and the entrepreneurial crisis of businesses being shut down, entire business models changing, a lot of business owners that I knew, small business owners that I knew, really were hit hard with the fundamentals of their business had some gaps that were causing them to collapse. And so I wrote that book and published it as a solution there to say, like, hey, we need to come back and say, here's how to survive, and not just survive, that's step one, but to thrive. Cool. And the subtitle of that is how to build a profitable business in any economy, including this one. And so that's
a great subtitle.
Thank you. Yeah.
So that's a great title.
Yeah. Thank you. So that book for my business at the time, it ended up, I mean, I don't know how many, at least hundreds, maybe thousands of entrepreneurs benefited from it directly of like coming back and saying, like, here's how, like, I changed my business model because of this. My favorite coffee shop, Muletown Coffee Roasters, actually, I was in their CEO's office the day and I just said, hey, I noticed there's an entire shelf of nothing but survive and thrive. And I was like, what are those doing there? And he said, oh, I pass them out every time somebody has a business idea or starting a new business, I give them a copy.
You're kidding.
No. And so that's like, that's cool, right?
That's fun. I mean,
to just find a shelf full of your book.
Yeah.
So it also led to clients and things like that for me. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I grew that co-working space business and sold it. And that was good as well. But the book will forever, for me, probably going to update it soon. But the fundamentals of it, the core of it, is all timeless. It's by design, not just specific to COVID. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is that book, I think forever in my business, will be my business 101 book that I kind of start with for entrepreneurs before I focus on the rest of my books, which are more specific to online education businesses where you're selling courses.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Cool. And that's helpful to understand kind of how each book fits in with your business as a whole. I think it gets real when you see your book in the real world, especially for guys like us who are running online businesses and, you know, everything's in the online world and it can feel kind of ethereal and like, okay, I'm not physical. But then when you go to that local coffee shop and you see that book and it's just something changes. It's like an odd experience when I was looking for houses here in Austin and my realtor introduced me to one of the people I was looking at their house. And then I heard them introduce me to somebody else. I'm like, oh, this is Chandler. He's an author. And I was like, I never introduced myself as an author, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a part of my identity. But in their mind, it was like, oh, that was the coolest thing about me. And so it's, I can imagine that probably similarly with the local coffee shop. This is John. He's an author.
No, I did a huge favor for myself and my family. I didn't realize when I published my first book because I'd already been doing digital marketing and businesses of different kinds for almost a decade at that point. But no one knew how to describe what I did. But then all of a sudden I had a book. They're like, oh, yeah. He's an author. And so that was actually really helpful that people in my community were like knew now how to describe me. So yes, that's been a benefit as well. An intangible perhaps. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, it took me probably 3-4 years in business before my parents even really fully comprehended what I did. They're like, you're just on your computer. Is this a real business?
Yeah. And like, the Grant Baldwin said this on an interview years ago and it stuck with me where he said, I type words to the computer and money comes out. I mean, it's like some form of magic, you know, like it's, and that's essentially what we do. So for the most part, so books are nice because they kind of cross that threshold into the quote real world.
So you talked about your favorite review of your first book, Survive and Thrive, calling it like a weekend MBA. Was that an actual concept in the book that you talk about? Or was that just like the customer just kind of made that up?
Yeah, they made that up. I've considered retitling the book. But, no, I, yeah. So for that book, I mean, I knew because at that point I had started three companies from scratch, and I also helped other entrepreneurs scale their companies. And so mm-hmm. I had my own understanding of some fundamental business principles of like finance, marketing, and operations, that were really key across the board, regardless of industry. But mm-hmm. I also know that I'm a young whippersnapper. And so I didn't want to publish a book that was just my own ideas. So the podcast you referenced earlier, which I don't publish new episodes on it earlier, Thrive School, mm-hmm. it started as me literally just interviewing the best and brightest minds in business I could get in contact with and breaking down how did you do it, kind of reverse mm-hmm. engineering it. And then pulling out of all of those, what were the principles that were universal, that weren't just my experience and that came up over and over again. And so the book is kind of, if you think about it, it takes a lot of the kind of the stuff that you would get in a book like Clockwork or Profit First or mm-hmm. E-Myth or, but right now, if you're talking to someone, you're like, go start a business, or they want to start a business, or they're new to entrepreneurship, even if they're a smart experience in their profession, usually, in the past, I would have to hand them like 10 books. I'm like, you got to go read these like 10. And I wanted one that was like essentially the thesis or the synthesis of those main concepts in one single book. And that's what I wrote. So yes, Weekend MBA is how it's described by the readers.
Yeah. And that's Survive and Thrive, right?
Yes.
That's not. Yeah. Okay. Got it. And so you kind of got the bug. You wrote the first book. It sounds like it did pretty well. It started bringing in clients for business. You mentioned you've since sold that business. What mm-hmm. sparked the second book and now the third book? Obviously, the second book, Always Be Teaching. And then the third book that we're working on together is a sold out coach book. So what sparked those and why books? Yeah. Like, why is this such a big part of your brand and your business?
Yeah, well, once I wrote one book, I mean, literally before the first one was like really, you know, off the printer and fully published, I was already working on the second because at that point I was like, okay, I see how this works. You know, like I could do this again. Mm-hmm. And so Always Be Teaching for that one, a little bit of the backstory on that is that we were in the process of selling Platform University, which I know you're familiar with and some other people mm-hmm. may be. It was a massive membership site that I'd run for more than 3 years for Michael Hyatt. And we were in the process of selling it. And as part of the sale, part of my perks being involved in helping spearhead the transition was I got the like intellectual property rights to a massive amount of content that I had produced for Platform University. Not exclusive, but I mean, all of a sudden I had like hundreds of articles, you know, videos, just all this stuff was just in my hands and was like, okay, wow, what can I do with this? So I wanted to kind of step away from that too and also clarify my own take on all these things. I mean, not just Michael Hyatt's or Pete Vargas's, but what's my take on all of this? And so I went through everything and I pulled out the 50 articles that I'd written that I felt like were the most, you know, they created a story arc essentially of how to grow your business by creating content online, how to build an online education business. And we had paid an illustrator to illustrate every single issue of the Teach It Forward newsletter for years. And so I had custom illustrations for every single one of these. And so literally what I did, Chandler, was I picked them. I used Atticus to like edit them into an ebook, uploaded it to Amazon KDP. And it sold, I sold more copies in the first 6 weeks of that book being on Amazon than the first 6 months of Survive and Thrive. And so that's also when I knew, I was like, okay, now I'm actually stepping into my lane of where I'm not just like a general entrepreneurship guy. I'm a build your online education business guy. But for that one, it's also illustrated. There's 50 lessons and every single one of them has custom cartoon style illustrations that go with it. And for that one, the reviews were saying, they're mostly not complimenting the writing. Actually, most of the reviews are like, oh my gosh, the illustrations were so good, which, you know, I'm not offended by that because I oversaw the illustrations, but some of my favorite comment for that one, a review on that one was asking, oh my gosh, you just took a marketing book and made it super simple by putting cartoon illustrations with it. Next time, can we have one of those pop-up books like where you open it and like the three-dimensional thing comes out? You know, just trying to make sure we understand how this all works. So that book more directly leads, like grows my current business. But the book I'm writing right now, Sold Out Coach, I feel like is basically taking all of that experience and my business model and like mirroring it into a book that I'm very excited about. I think that it'll be, I mean, I love the other two books, but this is the book where I'm like, okay, I feel like I had to write two to figure out what actually I'm writing and what I'm doing and why. And I feel like now I have total clarity.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I'll mention a couple of things there. First off, shout out Dave Chesson and Atticus. Yes. Guys, if you want to check out a past episode with Dave Chesson on the podcast, we talk about Publisher Rocket, especially. So we probably should bring him back on and talk about Atticus. But then also, I love we always say it's like learning how to ride a book is kind of like learning how to ride a bike. Once you do it, you can just keep doing it over and over and over again. That's why you don't see a lot of single book authors. Either they haven't written a book or they've written a few, right? And then there's not many that are just on one, but you got to focus on one book first to start that process versus, I think you wouldn't have discovered this if you try to write all three of these books at the same time, and then you end up with three half-written unfinished books, right? And so I love that kind of like, all right, the first book leads into the second book, which leads into the third book, which is now where you really feel like you found your lane. I want to double click on, you said, hey, I sold more copies of the second book in the first 6 weeks than I did the first book in the first 6 months. Mm-hmm. That's wild. How did you do that? And is there anything that you would attribute that to?
I think the number one thing I would attribute it to is honestly the fact that the second book is more niche. And I mean, like, honestly, I think that's it. I mean, the first book, I knew going into it, like, and I teach this stuff, like, I knew that I was writing a book that was like how to build a profitable business in any economy, any business, not just online course businesses, memberships, you know. And so I knew that was a stretch for me to set myself up as the expert to write that book. But I also felt like the book that I wanted to give people didn't exist, and it just had to. So with that book, there was a lot of effort to get it off the ground because I had people in my world who would buy it. But I also was I also would get, you know, a whole year later, I would get, you know, messages from a plumber in South Carolina that's like, you changed my entire life. You changed my entire business model. I'm like, that's awesome. I don't have an upsell for you. Like, I don't have any program that can help a plumber in South Carolina, but that book did. And so there's a lot of good that came out of that book, cool. but it's also more of a stretch for what I do.
Yeah.
The second book, I mean, the fact that it's illustrated, honestly, like, I underestimated how much people appreciated that, because essentially it's like 50 specific lessons on sales and marketing for an online education business, how to create social media content that draws people into your brand, to grow your email list, to sell products, how to actually speak online, like how to adopt a personality archetype that helps you earn trust. And there's all these individual lessons, so it's a very easy read because each lesson's like 2 pages long plus a cartoon. So you can very quickly feel like you're making progress. And I think that led to people recommending it and reviewing it fast right out of the gate. But that's the biggest thing, honestly, because strategy or tactic wise, it took a lot more effort for me to sell, survive, and thrive. And with Always Be Teaching, I mean, I did almost nothing because, I mean, I didn't expect it to go anywhere. It was like, oh, I'll take all these old articles and I'll put them into a book and I'll make it feel like a book, so you don't feel like you're reading a bunch of articles. But I didn't expect it to do much at all. So it really shocked me. I mean, of course, like, I did basic things, like I emailed my list about it. You know, I did a 99 cent ebook campaign for a little period of time. Like, I did all those kind of things. But honestly, I did way more tactics for survive and thrive. And at that time, I also owned three businesses with three different audiences. Now, at this point, I had sold two of those and I had one business, one focused audience, and a book that made sense for that audience. So I think that's the biggest difference, honestly.
Is you're saying biggest difference is niching down and having
focus.
One book for with a clear audience and and the business wrapped around that?
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest. And you said focus. I mean, love me some focus. I got, man, it's not within arm reach, but it's a sign over here that says focus stands for follow one course until successful.
Oh, I love that.
We talk about
that
all the time. It's like one course, one book.
Yes.
Because too many people, they try to go to what's new and what's next and they neglect their core thing, right? Yeah. And gosh, I could really get on my soapbox, but I'll spare everyone that about that.
I hope you're loving this episode so far. So if you're serious about writing and publishing your book, we would love to chat with you and help create a custom plan. All right. So all you need to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule. Schedule a 45-minute consultation with one of the experts on my team. All right. Let's implement what you're learning in this episode and let's see how we can help with your book. Go to selfpublishing.com/schedule.
Let me zoom in on Always Be Teaching and then let's talk about the new book. So the core concept of Always Be Teaching, hey, growing your business by creating content online, right? Mm-hmm. What are maybe a couple of the most helpful principles within that that can be applicable to authors who are looking to use online content to sell more books or entrepreneurs who are listening to this, hoping to use online content to grow their business?
Yeah. So here's one that I think I'll share, the one that's the most often quoted back to me. So that tells me it's sticking and people are finding it useful, which is that when you're creating your online personality, because that's what you're doing you know, and I say online, but of course that could be through a book too. Like you're creating like a, essentially like a captured version of your personality. You don't have all the nuance that you have offline, right? Like when you're talking to people, you meet at the coffee shop or whatever, you're interpreting body language, you're changing how you speak to them, what your word choice, how much information you give them based on a lot of context. How long have you known them? How do you know each other? You know, what? How are they dressed? How are you dressed? All those kind of things. You don't have that online. And so I think a lot of people skip the step of just pausing and saying, how am I going to communicate my identity online? Because the reality is you have to either be intentional about this or you're going to accidentally communicate something. Because when you're talking, you can't personalize your message to who you're talking to. You're drafting, you know, you're communicating one version of what you're saying online and people are perceiving it how they're perceiving it. So what we found was that there are three personality archetypes when you're building an online business that people seem to really latch onto and trust. And it's really critical that you pick one of those three and stay in that lane. So they're called the sage, the Sherpa, and the struggler. And this is one of the lessons from Always Be Teaching. Are you familiar with these three, Bunny Chance Chandler?
No, I'm not. This is great. Okay. Break it down. Yeah.
So this all comes down to what is your initial seed for building trust with someone else? Because that's part of the whole relationship and the whole connection that you're creating online. So the struggler is someone who is currently trying to figure out the solution to the problem that they're sharing with other people. So if you think about like personal finance, we can use personal finance actually as a great example here. If you think about a lot of personal finance blogs that are like a busy mom, like a homeschool mom with a bunch of kids who's just like blogging about like, okay, you know, my husband just got this new raise. We're trying to figure out what to do with this extra $2,000 a year. Here's our grocery budget for this week, right? Here's what we're doing right now. Here's how we just saved $20 a month on our phone bill. These kind of brands, they're coming from the angle of the struggler. Now, as the struggler, like you need to actually share useful things of like, here's what I'm learning now. It's not enough just to say there's a dark side to each of these. So I think that one we call the sappy struggler of like, You know, the savvy struggler who's just like, oh, poor me, nothing works, everything's awful. And it's like, nobody wants to follow them.
Yeah.
But you can't, but even if you are still learning in your industry, even if you're still new to your industry, you can build trust by sharing with people, here's what I'm learning right now as a struggler. And so the second identity is the Sherpa. And this is honestly how I present myself. I'll just tell you, like, pull back the curtain there, that the Sherpa is someone who has climbed the mountain. They're a few steps ahead of you and they're reaching back down to help you climb the mountain after them. And they're saying like, here's the step there, you know, skip that rock, walk around that. And so if you have case studies or results from your own professional history or from clients you've worked with that you're teaching other people how to repeat, the Sherpa is a great archetype for that. But that means you also have to be careful that you stay in that lane and you don't move into either the sage or the struggler category in areas where you're perceived as trustworthy. Because if I'm the Sherpa and I'm teaching you, like my next book is called Sold Out Coach. If I'm teaching you how to build a sold out coaching business, and then if I send an email that's just like, okay, guys, like my coaching program's, you know, supposed to start in 2 weeks, but like I've only sold one spot and I'm going to try this new marketing strategy and like see how it works. Well, now all of a sudden you don't really know why, but you don't trust me anymore. And it's because I've skipped lanes. Like I've jumped back over to the struggler archetype. And it's totally fine if I tell you that I'm struggling in my like fitness or in my diet or another category. But you need to make sure that if you're the Sherpa, whenever you're communicating struggle, that it's in the past about, it's in the light of how you overcame it, in the midst of it. The sage is a third archetype, and that's where your trust is typically, there's some sort of third party endorsement that makes you the expert in your industry, and it changes how you speak. So Michael Hyatt, who I know you're close familiar with, and are you still doing, you do coaching with him of some kind, right?
I have for a while. I don't anymore, but have for a long time.
Yeah. So Michael talks, he presents himself as the sage, New York Times bestselling author, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the opening line. And then when he speaks with authority. He doesn't back it up. He just says, this is what you need to do. And you do it. This is what a lot of people do who are Nobel Prize winning economists, or they're the most trusted expert on their topic in the world. The sage is one that's actually, it's the hardest of the three to achieve and build trust and rapport that way. But once you have it, it's typically a third party endorsement that says you're the expert. Then once you have it, it's important then that you speak in shorter sentences and you're direct. And it's important that you don't back up everything you say. Because if you are the sage, like if I'm listening to the Nobel Prize winning economist whose specialty is specifically, wage changes, just to pick in a random example here. And if he's speaking and somebody asks like, hey, what should we do about like minimum wage? And he's like, and it, then the way he should respond is essentially like, we should raise it. The end. Maybe he should be specific and say like, we should raise it to this number. But if he says like, well, I think we should raise it because, I mean, I've done the math over here and there's this thing over here and this one time, this one thing happened to me. And if he starts going into Sherpa mode, people don't know why, but they just suddenly start to perceive him with less authority. So the sage, the struggler, and the Sherpa are these three archetypes that are pretty universal. And you need to pick which one you're going to be. And you can graduate, but for at least a long, extended period of time, you need to have one.
That's great. And so narrow in on that archetype and then teach the process, always be teaching from that archetype. So let's transition to Sold Out Coach. Okay. So the new book, how did you land? I love the hook. I mean, I think that's, as I was looking at your books, which by the way, I'm sorry, apparently I just absolutely just butchered your intro at the start here. I'm like, I think we pulled off of Amazon, your bio off of Amazon instead of the one that you sent us. So that's my fault. So Sold Out Coach, the next book, how did you land on that? And I guess I'll go back to what I was, the compliment I was giving you is I love just the hook, how you think in hooks, the survive and thrive, always be teaching, Sold Out Coach. I think it's just always pretty clear what the hook of the book is. So how do you do that? And how'd you land on this hook for this book?
Thank you. Thank you, first of all, for the compliment. I appreciate that. I think for me, before I land on the hook, I've got to land on like, what's the concept? And then what I'm looking for is typically either a mantra or an identity that I can sell. And I will say, I feel like I've gotten better at this with each book. So Survive and Thrive, I think, is probably the weakest of the titles. You'll notice anytime I say Survive and Thrive, like I reference it, I always mention the subtitle because it has a really, really good subtitle and a pretty good title.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good point.
But Always Be Teaching for me actually came as a reaction against Always Be Closing or Always Be Launching, which were all these, you know, you've heard these things, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
That it's just, I just was so frustrated by people who were coming in and were like, okay, Always Be Launching. Got it. Always be closing. Got it. And they were losing trust with people because they weren't taking the posture of a teacher or a guide or an author. And so Always Be Teaching at first was really just like a mantra. And then it became like, okay, but here's the how-to version of that. For Sold Out Coach, I mean, what really came out of my business over the last years, we don't need to trace the whole history of all the things, but I've had the opportunity to run and be part of incredibly successful, I mean, multi-million-dollar membership sites. You know, like my clients have generated millions of dollars in membership sites, in course sales. Last year, we crossed the threshold where the clients who worked directly with me in my business earned more than $1 million from group coaching programs. And so like I've been involved in a lot of these different things, which is really cool in terms of online education across the board. But what I found was that the current playbook, the default playbook for people coming into the space is broken. And I think this is changing, but that's a good thing. But a lot, the playbook assumes you're rich in time. So the general playbook for building an online education business is you post about yourself on social media to build a following. You start selling a $7 ebook or a, you know, $100 course. You make a little money, you launch a membership, maybe one day you have some sort of high ticket program. But if you're an experienced professional, like if you've worked for decades in your industry and you're coming into the online education space, every single minute of your time is precious and that playbook just doesn't work. So what I saw with Platform University, where we had thousands of members and all incredibly smart professionals, nutritionists, doctors, lawyers, attorneys, all of these people, I said lawyers and attorneys, now that's bothering me because basically the same thing, but I'm in a law office, as my office is in a law office. But they were coming in and they don't have time for all that. Mm. And so the failure rate was just so high. And so what I discovered over the last couple of years is that that whole model is like backwards and upside down. And if we just flip it and if we say, look, if you're already experienced in your industry, if you have already spent at least a decade building your expertise, let's build the high ticket program first. Let's come out of the gate with a premium sold out coaching program that funds your lifestyle. Now you can buy back your time. And that allows you to now write the book, create the course, get the membership, scale the team, but do it from a place of abundance, not where you have either a calendar booked with one-on-one clients or where you have a full-time job that's competing for your time. So that was the premise for this book. And originally the title was Wisdom into Wealth, which is a phrase I use a lot about like helping people turn wisdom into wealth. And then it was Sell Your Smarts because that's kind of like my core brand. I thought the book should be named after the brand. But I realized the more I talked to customers about it, the more I realized that they were like, yes, 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 John. This is the feedback I was getting. They're like, I understand you have this whole framework for how to sell courses, memberships, books, and coaching programs. But the questions I was getting of where the people wanted help was always in that area of creating and selling the group coaching programs, masterminds, and one-on-one coaching programs to create that six-figure sold-out program that now funds your lifestyle so you can do the other things. Mm-hmm. So this book then is focused on that. So that's kind of it's a little bit of a wandering trail of what got me here. But then as far as the hook itself, I mean, that came out of really just me looking for like, what's that identity? Like, what's the t-shirt or the coffee mug or the sticker that someone would get and say, not like I read a book by John Meese because it's not about me, mm-hmm. but specifically saying like, what's the identity they want? And
yeah. Outcome-based.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Got it. Yeah. Cool. So it's an outcome-based kind of promise statement.
Yes.
I like that. So let's drill in on that methodology maybe a little bit and then get a couple questions. We're running out of time.
Okay, sure.
I guess with that methodology, so you're saying, hey, flip the script. So instead of, you know, it's a refrain that probably a lot of listeners or people watching on the YouTube channel are familiar with. Either you're spending time to save money and you've got a lot of money, not a lot of time, or flip side, you don't have a lot of money and you have a lot of time. So you're spending time to save money, but it's typically people fall into one of those camps. So I think what you're saying is most online education coaching or training assumes the person is high on time, low on income, and then caters the teaching to that. And then it just doesn't work for the people who are saying, no, I've got a deep expertise. I've made good money. I don't have a lot of time. I want to pay money to spend time. And so you're kind of engineering for that avatar. So I guess, is that correct? And if so, maybe just double click on the methodology, which I think if I'm hearing correctly is saying, hey, start with a high ticket. Is it group coaching program, one-on-one coaching program? Like what's that kind of framework? And maybe just walk us through that.
Yeah. I love how you say double click. Like it's just like it's a very great way to like dive deeper into that. Yes. So first of all, you are correct. The one thing just to take that a little bit further in terms of like what that actually looks like, it looks like someone who doesn't have an online audience, honestly, who is they're saying like, look, I want to teach. I want to do all this stuff. And like, there's one path maybe where you're like paying a bunch of money to get a bunch of people to like done for you, build your business for you. But honestly, when you're creating a business, it's an extension of your personality. That's really hard or impossible to do well without you spending a lot of time on. And so what I focus on with most of my clients is we usually start with a group coaching program where the idea is like, let's get really crystal clear on what is what I call a 10X promise. What's a clear promise or outcome that your target customer, we got to figure out who that is, of course, what they want, and then invite them into that program. And I teach we don't have time to go into all the details of it, but I teach a serve call strategy for how to essentially do a customer research conversation with a potential customer that closes high ticket sales. Every single person on that call, it's successful because they give you a lot of detail on how do they describe what they want. And that becomes the copy for your program of how you sell it. But it also has a strong opportunity to close the sale on the call itself. And so it's multi-purpose in that way. That's what I teach. And then for most of my clients, their very first program, we set the bar pretty low, which is to say, hey, let's get 5 clients in a 60-day program who are paying you $2,000 each. And that wet clay really helps a lot of people craft the offer. Because then the idea is, okay, well, what can I teach over 60 days? What kind of result or outcome can we focus on? What is my target customer going to pay $2,000 for? And then once you have that initial group, A, that's $10,000 that you've just earned. But now you've got case studies and testimonials. Now you can have more people in your program. Now you can charge a higher price. And so like Dustin Reichman is a close friend and client, and also one of my most successful case studies, in that he had a couple different business things going on, but he was still a part-time engineer when he started this process. And he climbed the ladder to the point where he's charging more than $10,000 per client, taking 15 at a time per cohort 4 times a year. You do the math. It's really, really good math. And so that's kind of the idea.
Cool. I like that. And I like the simplicity of that. And funny, small world. I'm literally interviewing, you may already know this, Dustin later today on the podcast.
Yeah.
So guys, check out the episode with Dustin on profitable podcast guesting. So let's see, last couple questions here. We've got audience question from Leo says, it's kind of building on what we just were asking about. Says, can you share some actionable tips for someone hoping to get their first coaching clients?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great question. The very first thing you have to do is you need to imagine, you know, you need to pick a real life human being who is your target customer. I think a lot of people make the mistake of creating like an imaginary avatar of like, you know, Sleepy Susan or whoever this like person is that they're going to help. But as humans, we're granted this incredible gift of empathy that activates as soon as we're talking about a real life human being. So yeah, make a list of who you think your target customer is, but then go find a real life person in your phone contacts or your social media contacts or whatever that is that matches that target customer description. And then start literally just making a list of what you believe with your empathy of what are the results that that person wants. And be very specific. What are the specific results they want in their life in the category where you can help? And what are the roadblocks keeping them stuck? And then it's really just a question of taking those and narrowing that down. And you can literally ask them these questions of what are you working on right now? You know, like what's important to you? And then what's standing in your way? But if you get clarity on results and roadblocks, you can craft a really compelling offer. And that's all you need to get your first coaching client is honestly to then just ask like, okay, well, would you mm-hmm. be interested in working with me to accomplish mm-hmm. this result without this roadblock? And mm-hmm. if you get a yes, everything else is easy.
Visa or MasterCard. And that's tying into kind of some of those, I'm assuming using the serve call mm-hmm. as a framework. And so booking some of those serve calls so that you can then get those yeses and process mm-hmm. the orders for those first purchases. So guys, if you want me or future guests to answer your questions live on an episode in the future, just leave a comment on this video on the YouTube channel or leave us a review on the podcast with your question in it. We've got a training coming up. So
yeah,
right after this podcast is released, John and I are co-hosting a training on the 3 key principles to grow your business using a book. And so if you go to selfpublishing.com/Meese, okay, M-E-E-S-E, obviously John's last name, selfpublishing.com/Meese. You can go register for the training. If it's after that date, you can catch the replay of that training. So don't worry if you haven't. If you're listening to this and you're like, it's already past March 13th. Well, you can still check out the link and register for the training there. John, what would be your parting piece of advice, knowing what you know now, 2.5 books in, for the John from a few years ago, or the other Johns out there who are thinking about writing their first book?
It would be to close the gap between you and your target customer. And by that, I mean, like literally get them on the phone, get them on a Zoom call, have coffee with them, just talk to them. You need to be able to get to the point where you know your target customer so intimately that you can close your eyes and walk through their entire day of like when they wake up, you know, and what do they feel? What do they see? And walk through their entire day, because that level of empathy is going to allow you to create much better books, much better offers, to be able to help people and grow your business.
Love it. That's awesome. John, where can people go to find out more about you, your business, your books, what you're up to?
Yeah, if you go to sellyoursmartsonline.com, then that's where you can find more information about me. And it's also where you can sign up. I offer a free crash course that kind of walks you through how to turn your wisdom into wealth to sell your smarts by building an online education business. You will not find me on social media. Maybe that's a talk for another day, but I'm on 0 social media. And that's been a great change. But sellyoursmartsonline.com.
Sellyoursmartsonline.com. John, this has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chandler. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do 3 things right now if you found this episode helpful. I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So 1, subscribe to the YouTube channel. 2, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, 2, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then 3, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So 3, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do 3 things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, 1, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So 1, subscribe to the YouTube channel. 2, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, 2, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then 3, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right. Reviews are super important and help the podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.